You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Vasanth Ramamurthy, filling in for Jim and Patrick, who are off today. Thanks, guys, for handing the podcast keys to me for this episode. It's been 30 years now since Nirvana's Nevermind was released, and being a big fan of 80s and 90s indie rock and punk rock, I thought it was fascinating the feeding frenzy that occurred in the music business after the success of Nevermind. You had all these major labels running around signing indie bands left and right, trying to find the next one who could produce a Nirvana-level hit. So what I want to talk about today is a few of my favorite strange and unlikely album candidates for major label success. I do want to make it clear that it's not about any of these bands selling out, but more just about how funny it is that these major labels thought they could have something resembling a hit with bands that were kind of weird when compared to the mainstream. The first band I want to talk about is a Washington, D.C. based band called Shudder to Think. They started in the late 80s, and they released four albums on indie labels. Three of them were on Discord Records, the famous D.C. punk label. But their first record on a major label was 1994, the Pony Express record released on Epic Records. So Shudder to Think had a good sense of pop hooks, but they paired those with kind of off-kilter, mathy rhythms, grinding post-hardcore guitars, and a little bit of Roxy music and glam theatrics. So let's listen to the single off the album, Ex-French T-Shirt.
So that the others may too, that you let me in.
The band released one more album for the label 50,000 BC and more or less disbanded in 1998, aside from a few reunion shows in the 2000s. The next band I want to talk about is closely related to Shudder to Think. They're also from the DC area, started in the late 80s, and even shared a band member and drummer Adam Wade, and that would be Jawbox. They released two albums on Discord Records, and their first album on the major label Atlantic Records was 1994's For Your Own Special Sweetheart. Like Shudder to Think, Jawbox had a pretty strong melodic sense, but again had the twin heavy guitar attack and abstract lyrics that were sometimes hard to parse. So here is a cut from that album called Jackpot Plus. Jawbox toured with label mates Stone Temple Pilots and the Meat Puppets, and they released a final self-titled album in 1996 and broke up a year later. They reunited again in 2019, and I was lucky enough to see that show in Chicago. They haven't released anything new since their last album, but they are playing reunion dates every so often. Let's shift over from the East Coast to the West Coast, specifically San Diego, and talk about Drive Like Jehu. They started in 1990 from the ashes of another San Diego band called Pitchfork, and they released a self-titled album on an indie label in 1991. Now, at the same time, the guitarist John Speedo Reese had another band going called Rocket from the Crypt, who was courted by major labels because they had a more fun garage rock type sound. So he made a deal with Interscope Records that Rocket from the Crypt would only sign if they also signed Drive Like Jehu. So it's kind of a two-for-one deal that he set up with Interscope Records. And they released 1994's Yank Crime album on Interscope. So Drive Like Jehu is known for their twin guitar attack, kind of progressive song structures, the unhinged singing of Rick Froberg, and build-up of tension and release in their song dynamics. Here's a little bit of Luau. Drive Like Jehu basically stopped playing in 1995, aside from a brief reunion in 2014 to 2016, although guitarist Froberg and John Reese still play together in the band Hot Snakes. Now, moving away from punk-influenced bands, let's talk about two acid-fried pop bands. The first is Mercury Rev, which started in 1989 in Buffalo, New York. The main members were David Baker and Jonathan Donahue, as well as Dave Fridman. Donahue was also a member of the Flaming Lips for a few albums around this time, and we'll talk about them in a minute. And Fridman has been a longtime producer of the Flaming Lips, as well as other major acts. Their first album was 1990's Your Self-Esteem, which was released on an indie label at first, then picked up by Columbia Records. But let's talk about their second album, 1993's Bosses. Here's the lead-off track, Meth of a Rocket's Kick, which has 10 minutes of noise, pop melodies, flutes, and general weirdness. David Baker left the band after this album, but the band have continued on until this day, still putting out records. Now the next band we want to talk about is the one that I just mentioned, the Flaming Lips. They were formed in the early 80s in Oklahoma City and released four albums on the indie label Restless Records. Jonathan Donahue from Mercury Rev was on board for their last indie in A Priest-Driven Ambulance, and their major label debut was 1992's Hit to Death in the Future Head. This album kicks off with what you could call a perfect pop song, albeit filtered through an LSD-dosed worldview. This is Talking About the Smiling Death Porn Immortality Blues, in parentheses, Everyone Wants to Live Forever. Down. Flaming Lips had a minor alternative hit on their next album with She Don't Use Jelly, and have continued on through the years, becoming a cult and festival favorite. Now, the last album and person I want to talk about is Mike Watt. Mike Watt was a member of the 80s punk heroes The Minutemen, and formed Firehose after the passing of The Minutemen frontman Dee Boone. Firehose somehow got signed to Columbia in 1991 and released two albums before breaking up. And the relationship with Columbia continued for Watt's first solo album, Ball Hog or Tugboat, released in 1995. This was a major album for me in high school when trying to learn about punk and alternative music. I first heard about it because I was a big Pearl Jam and Foo Fighters fan, and Eddie Vedder and Dave Grohl sing and play on one of the songs, Against the 70s. I bought the CD and studied the liner notes, trying to research all the names that played on the record. It's pretty much a who's who of 80s punk and alternative legends. Just check out the list of people on this album. Henry Rollins from Black Flag, 3/4 of Sonic Youth, Dave Grohl, Chris Novoselic and Pat Smear from Nirvana, Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, Jay Maskus of Dinosaur Jr., the Kirkwood Brothers from the Meat Puppets, Evan Danu from the Lemonheads, Frank Black from the Pixies, Nellis Klein, who's now in Wilco, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Adam Horvitz from the Beastie Boys, and I still have not named everybody who is famous. And let's play out with Maggot Brain, a funkadelic cover with Jay Maskus playing a killer solo. So this is just a sampling of a few bands who made some truly incredible music when they were small fish in a big pond. If you already knew these bands, I hope you enjoyed revisiting some of them. And if you hadn't, I hope you found something new to check out during this strange time in the 90s when it seemed like the freaks might actually make it. Thanks for listening. You can and you should follow @SuburbsPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you have comments on this episode or any episode, you can put those on social media, or you can email rock@suburbspod.com or call the Suburban Party Line at 612-440-1984. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.